don't know if there are more of us, but didn't figure out where we
are hanging out. We have a short time to try and, to the best of our abilities, I guess, master Bishul B'Shabbos. It could easily take several months to learn Bishul B'Shabbos well. Rabbi Schwartz, I think, told me he's doing it for 3 months next year, I think, as a Shir Yomi. So I hear taking 3 months to learn it. We don't have 3 months. So we're going to try to do it as fast and well as we can. We have a limited amount of time. I don't know exactly how many shirim this will take. I'm assuming somewhere in the 10 to 12 or 13 range, depending on how exactly things go. I'm assuming that other than Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Brura, you guys have not seen much beforehand, which is fine. Again, to sort of, you know, see a few snippets of Gemara here and there. I didn't know if it was so kedai for you guys to be doing that in advance. So when I'm doing those other sources, I will, the ones that I do inside, I'll make sure that I'm doing it as if you didn't see them. And then there's stuff that we'll do outside as well. My goal, again, I had the zechus of learning Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Wolig, yes, and I assume he's the Mora de Shmaitza in our yeshiva on Bishul, and I will certainly, as much as I'm knowledgeable and then remember, incorporate what Rabbi Wolig says. Again, I'll mention if there are a variety of opinions as well. My goal is that it should be as clear as possible. Again, we might sacrifice some understanding, some opinions that we don't paskin like, and some of the lumdas involved. But my main concern is, again, we'll try to sort of sum up each time, is what's all the halacha l'maisa, so what happens in the kitchen. I'm not anticipating anybody will come out from here being able to extrapolate and paskin other hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos that haven't been discussed. But at least what's basically been paskined and been determined, so we should have Bishul, welcome. We should have clarity on that. The main simanim are Shin Yud Ches and Reishon Gimel. So Shin Yud Ches is dealing with Bishul, and Reishon Gimel is dealing with the Gzeiros Derabbanan. So we'll have to cover all those. Again, we're not going to be able to do all the Mishnah Berurah and Shulchan Aruch inside either. But again, try to make it as clear as possible. I assume you're basically familiar with some of the more modern day Svarim, the Shemir Shabbos. The Orcha Shabbos is a wonderful, wonderful book. That's, I guess, my go-to in terms of just some of the poskim in our time and a little bit organizationally as well. Rabbi Willig's English Sefer on Bishul is also excellent. It's definitely more comprehensive than what we're going to try to do. But again, given our time, I really hope to try to make things as clear as possible. Again, I'll have to throw in some lumdas just because we can't sit here for, you know, close to an hour every day and not do some lumdas. But I'll try to keep it to as much as possible to a minimum, only because I want the halachas to be, I hope, siyata d'shmaya, to be clear. Okay. So the Mishnah says in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Ayin Gimel Merabos, Ayin Gimel Merav, Avos Melachos Arboim Chaserachas. There are 39 Melachos. Hazoreya Vachoresh Vachotze Vaman Vadosh Vazor Abor Ratochem Meraki Vadosh Vyaofer. So the last of the first group of Melachos that's listed is Ofer, which is baking. Which again, I guess is interesting in light of the fact that we always refer to it as Bishul B'Shabbos, and we don't refer to it as Ofer B'Shabbos. So first of all, what's the difference between Ofer and Bishul and Tzli? The different types of cooking we're going to need to understand to make sure that we're clear on what every type of cooking is. So the general rule, Bishul means that you are cooking in a liquid medium, meaning the heat is not acting directly on the food, but the heat is heating up something else. So let's say there's water in the pot, then you put your boiling egg into the water, so that is Bishul, that's cooking. It's the water which has been heated up by the fire, which is then cooking whatever you're putting into the fire. When you can't bake cookies by putting them into water, I think. I assume you can't bake cookies. I couldn't remember. Well, you certainly can't bake them because it wouldn't be called baking. I don't know if you can make cookies that way. What? I guess so. I mean, the donuts are interesting because again, it might be nogea later on. Donuts are fried, and frying in deep oil is, for the all intents and purposes, is the same as bishul, because you're cooking in a liquid medium. It just happens to be that it's oil as opposed to water. Ofe, baking, is when you get a picture. Our ovens for now, is if you're heating up the fire heats up the walls of the oven, and it's the heat from the walls of the oven, and the fire is not acting directly on what's being baked, and that's the difference between tzli. Again, tzli is roasting. So what's the difference between tzli and ofe? Is the difference between baking your cookies and barbecuing your cookies. If you put your cookies directly on the grill, I don't know what happened to your cookies, but it will, the fire is acting directly on what is being baked, cooked, roasted, as opposed to inside the oven where it's the heat of the chamber, which again is coming from the fire, but that's what's heating. So again, those are the basic types of, that's going to be nogeya later on. But again, what's interesting again is that the Mishnah does not say bishul, the Mishnah says ofas. So the Gemara, anayindalat on mabez, ask the question, why is that? Amar Rav Papa, Shavak Tana Didon Bishul Samaman and Dhaba Bemishkan, Vinakar Ofe. So, why is it that, again, the Malachos of Shabbos are learned out from what took place in the Mishkan? So, the other Malachos that are taking place are part of the process of the Bishul. We have Bishul Samamanim. They had to make the different dyes in order to put the Mishkan together. So there was bishul in the Mishkan. So how come the Mishnah doesn't say bishul? How come it says ofe instead of bishul? So Rav Papa explains, Tana didan sidura de pas nakat. That the Tana and the Mishnah wanted it to be that the first group of malachos will culminate in the baking of bread, because all of the malachos ultimately are about baking bread. So you start out with Zoraya, so you plant the wheat, then you choresh it, then you cut it down, then you gather it, then you break it down, you sift it, and everything else, you knead it, and ultimately what comes out, not bishul, what comes out is ofa. So presumably it seems like, at least for memory purposes, that having it as a sidur de pas, having it as a unit, was easier, and therefore the Mishnah chose to do bishul as opposed to bishul. Now the Igle Tal in his Akhtama points out again. Maybe perhaps you've seen this when learning Shabbos, that obviously there was ofe, there was afia in the Mishkan as well. There was bread that was brought as part of the Korban Todah, part of the Lechem Apanim. There was certainly baking that was taking place. So what's the difference? So it seems to be Machlokas and Rav Haigon. Maybe attributes it to a machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi as to whether we learn out from the process of building the Mishkan, or do we learn out the Avos Malachos from the process of what was done in the Mishkan, right? The baking of the Lechem Apanim, or the bread for the Karbanos, was what was done in the Mishkan. It wasn't the creation of the Mishkan, as opposed to the Bishul Samimanim, which again is the different dyes. So that was part of the process of creating dyeing the wool or whatever else was needed. So that was part of the creation of the Mishkan. So again, that seems to, he points out that does seem to be a machlokas, and it may affect in the end whether it's an av or whether it is a toldah. Now again, the Gemara beginning of Bava Kamma, and it's a good time to start the Bava Kamma Daf Yomi on Thursday. So Bava Kamma Daf Beis, the Gemara there says, right, what makes anything into an av? Have to have a Mishkan Chashiva. Anything which was important in the Mishkan is considered to be an av. So it's a little bit of a discussion whether Ofa is a Tolda, whether it is an av. Practically, it really doesn't make much of a difference. Yechayev min haTorah on again, Avos and Toldas are not Doraisa and Darabanans. They are all on the level of Doraisa. There's no question that it is a Doraisa. The Rambam, yes.
It's a question whether a bishul or a fia is an av or a tolda, and one of them is definitely av and one of them is definitely tolda.
No. Oh. As we'll see in a moment. In fact, the Rambam assumes that they're both avos.
Okay.
The Rambam writes in Perek Tes Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Aleph Ha'ofa Kigroger Eschayev Echad Ha'ofa Esapas O Mavashel Esamechel Ova Esasaman O Mecham Esamayim Hakol Inyan Echadu. Whether you're baking, whether you're cooking a food, whether you're cooking spices, doesn't matter what you are, exactly what you're cooking, it is all considered to be, the Rambam at least assumed that it is the Av Malachos. Av Malachos. Again, the Iglei Tal and others do discuss at length this issue of what's considered to be an Av, what's considered to be a Tolda. Again, practically it doesn't make much of a difference. The Magen Mishnah points out, how can you have so many different things being the Av? So he says that the Rambam held Dasha Kavanas, the Magen Mishnah is in Perek Zayin Lacha Dalet in Shabbos. The Dasha Kavanas Rabbeinu Hisha Kol Melacha Sheidoma La'av B'dimyon Gomor, Elo Shechaluka Meno Be'echus HaPu'ula, O Be'echus HaNifal Reza Av Kamosa. Aval Melacha Doma La'av B'mikza Zoya Nikras Tola. That the difference between Av and Tola has to do with how similar they are. And if they are very similar, then they are an Av. The more different they are, then they are a Tola. Okay, so that is the that's the first point. So again, it doesn't matter practically which is an av and which is a tolda, but again, that is this question. The next issue we have to deal with again is actually the Gemara, which immediately follows that also on Ayin Dal and Aveiz. The Gemara says as follows. Amar Avacha Barav Avira, Hai Man Deshoda Sichsa La Asuna Chayiv Mishum Mavashel. What does that mean? Hai Man Deshoda Sichsa La Asuna Chayiv Mishum Mavashel. So Rashi says, Shehishlich Yoseid Lach L'Tanur Cham Liabisho Sheyiz Kasha. If you take a wooden peg, and it's still a little bit soft, and you put it into an oven in order for it to harden in the oven. So you're chayiv mishum mavasha. So now, again, to keep in mind, we're not talking about food. The saman morning's food either. But again, Gemara here is clearly not talking about food. If you're going to simply harden the piece of wood by drying it out, that is chayiv because of mavasha. So Gemara says, pshita, isn't that obvious? So Gemara says, Ma'u desema l'shirure mona kamechavein, kamash malon demerafa rafi v'hadar kamit. What does that mean? So Rashi says, I would have thought l'shirure mona kamechavein l'chazik, v'ein kan bishel. That there's no bishel involved, that you're just trying to make it stronger, you're trying to make it a better piece of wood. What's the bishel? The chiddush is the merafe rafe ayidei hachom haor v'amayim shebesocha yotzin ulagra sheyotzu meimav kamed miskasha v'chirafi bereisha ave bishulo. In terms of the definition of bishul, so Rashi tells us something significant. What's the bishul? The bishul is that when the water is, which is inside, again, there's moisture inside of the wooden peg, which is coming out in order to make it harder. While that's happening, I guess as the water is warming up, the peg becomes softer. That's the bishul. The bishul is taking the harder the wood, which right now is hard, softening it. That's the bishul. Then you're miskasha. Then it becomes afterwards. That accomplishes what you wanted to do. But the reason that it's a chiddush is because the bishul of it was the fact that it was v'chirafi v'reisha have bishulo. The fact that it was softened at the beginning, that is the bishul.
Bishul
of
the water or the
iron? So Rashi is clear. That's actually some machlokas we've shown him. So Rashi is clear that he's talking about the item. He's not talking about the bishul of the water. Why that is not 100% clear. The Arayim understands that the bishul is the bishul of the water, and even though, again, maybe this is what they're arguing about, even though the water is going li'ibud, and it's just evaporating, so I guess they wouldn't have necessarily thought and that was part of the process. Maybe Rashi doesn't attach the same chashivas to it. It's not 100% clear how Rashi, what Rashi does with the fact that the practically what's happening is that the water is getting cooked. This is actually called halacha l'maisa, and it is definitely no geir l'maisa in one of two possible cases. It's quoted actually, it's in Shulchan Aruch, but not in our simanim, about if you have clothes that get wet on Shabbos, you come inside with from a snowstorm, you have a wet raincoat, and you put it next to a radiator. So if it's going to make the water in the raincoat reach Yad Soledas, which again we'll see is the shear of Bishul by water, so you'll be chayav because of Mavashel. Alternatively, or similarly, if you have wet towels and you put them on top of a hot pot, then that also may, again, assuming that it's hot enough that the moisture should reach Yad Soledas, you may also have a problem of Bishul. There might be Hatmana issues, we'll get to that much later on, but assuming that it's not done in a way where there's any insulation concern, halachically, just forget about that for now. We'll have to talk about that. But again, it can be that there is bishul on the towels themselves, on the water in the towels, and that's based on the sirayim.
It wouldn't, if you're actually, there's no mitzvah where that also gets softer and then. Just like in a wooden peg.
What do you mean?
Meaning Rashi is also bishul when you throw a peg in, and it's just because the matias is that it gets softer and then it gets harder. That
right.
Matias is not true when it's not wood. That's only wood.
Again, Rashi seems to be telling us a rule. This is what we're going to try and understand better. Rashi seems to tell us that the definition of bishul is softening something hard al yedei
eish or chum. That doesn't happen in my shirt.
Your shirt gets soft.
I wouldn't have thought the wood does either.
No, I don't think.
I'm saying Rashi.
The wood?
I
think the wood does. I don't think that happens. I don't think it happens in your shirt.
Clearly, Rashi's saying it does. I'm saying that's.
That happens in your shirt?
I don't know. I don't think it happened in wood either.
What is more pliable?
I think wood, again, if you have this desk.
Yeah.
No, I think. Right now, the moisture of it is, we'll call it inactive. Right? There's moisture in there's moisture in wood. As you start to heat it, so the water is drawn to the. So the surface is drawn out, so by definition, that's going to soften the wood because the water is we'll call it like now in an active state. It may just again, it might not last so long.
You know, when they make those curved wooden things, they use steam to heat it up, and then they curve it. They
there you go.
Otherwise.
Yeah, but they're using steam. They're not taking the water that's inside and evaporating it.
It's just less. It's the same steam. It's just a lot less steam.
No, but
the
end result of throwing wood into a fire is that it's drier. Not that it's wetter. The end result of that process is that the wood is wetter.
No, we're actually saying that.
Not in the end. No, in the end you have a curved piece of wood. In the end you can build an arch.
Right, but you're wetting the wood. You're applying water to it, not getting rid of water. In this situation, you're not applying any water. You're just getting rid of the water, but through that process somehow.
That's why he's assuming that again. Everybody seems to be agreeing that it's getting softer in the process. That seems to be limited.
It's just limited to wood. That's just the.
No, let's say if you melt a piece of metal. You take a piece of metal, and you put it over a fire, and now it turns gold, and now you have liquid gold. That would also be bishul. He took something hard. It doesn't necessarily have to be.
It doesn't
have to be only from the moisture inside of it.
Right,
is that what you're
saying?
That's true.
Right, but this moisture inside of it thing.
Yes.
That's limited to just wood. Wood is the only thing that reacts.
If you haven't, that I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. You might be able to come up with something else. I can't think of anything else offhand.
But it wouldn't be true about a towel.
I don't think it would be true about a towel. I don't think the towel gets softer. I don't think so. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that Rashi would disagree in the case of these. I'm not sure what Rashi says. It's not clear. The Mordechai, I think, brings this case as the raya for this din of the Yibush Begadim that you have to be careful by the drying of the clothes. I don't think he doesn't explain what Rashi does with it. I'm not sure what Rashi does with it. But again, I'll give you another case where Halacha L'maaseh case. I just saw a fascinating case in this. Excellent Dear Shu edition of the Mishnah Brura. It says as the following, Mamash Halacha L'maaseh. You take chalant, as soon as the chalant comes off the, we'll talk about crock pots all that later, take it off the crock pot, and you realize you have way too much. I know your neighbor comes and your neighbor says, you know, the crock pot didn't cook. I don't have anything to eat. You say, no problem. You take out one of those disposable plastic containers, you know, those soup ones you get from the deli. You put the hot, steaming hot chiles into it. What happens to the bottom of the plastic? It gets softer. Right? So is that a problem of bishul on the plastic? We were always concerned about the cholent and the on and the off and the azara.
I mean, it's not...
What?
It itself is a kli shamin.
So let's avoid those issues right now.
You're cooking the kli.
No. Right, you're cooking the kli itself. It depends what you assume the status of the ladle. Well, let's leave all that aside right now. Let's assume that you're taking from a kli rishon, you're putting it inside. We can be machmir for dover gush. We can throw in many reasons to at least have the question. The question could be pouring directly from an urn into it. I don't know why you're doing it, but you're pouring hot water straight into one of those things from the urn. Into one of the cold cups that you're not supposed to put hot things into. Exactly. So why aren't you supposed to put hot things into it? Because it gets soft, it melts a little bit, right? That's exactly the point. See, Lazi Zena Chavez. So he quotes. From Shlomo Zalman and from Rabbi Yasha, they both said that it's okay. And it's not considered to be bishul. Shlomo Zalman said...
Pages
is on... It's opposite Kuf Lamed Gimel in the Deir Shu. It's right at the beginning of Shinir Ches. It's Hara number 2. He says from Shlomo Zalman that it's not considered to be bishul. Why? Because it's only considered to be bishul, it says, that if it gets to the point where it'd be soft enough that you can, you know, then let's say shape it into something else, that it would be at the point where, because again, we'll have to talk about all the shiurim when it comes to bishul, but when it comes to these things, we don't really have, you know, michel, but just, the shiurim that we're going to use are mostly related to food. So we don't really know what it means to soften here. So he says that lashon is ho ve'ina kli misrakech b'shir shenoagim lerakech ulahamis, to work the plastic, which is in Hebrew also plastic, kadei lasos menetzuros, in order to turn it into something else. Af midrabanan ein lasor zos. You should not. You don't. It's not even asur. It's not even asur midrabanan. And then he quotes a different svara, which is an interesting one, from Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal, says that the reason that it's mutter is because it's not hard to begin with. Meaning, when you take a piece of wood, a piece of wood is hard, and then you, let's say, make it soft. You take metal and you melt the metal, and metal becomes soft. It says, taking something which is kind of pliable already, you can squeeze that plastic container to start off with, okay, so now it's a little softer. But that's not a complete change. Just speaking a little bit softer, that wouldn't be a problem. Okay, again, it's interesting. Halacha l'maaseh, it certainly comes up all the time. The soup and the different things that you're putting away, and it's true. It really does. The containers really do get soft. I'm sure there's like carcinogenic effects or something like that. But that's good. So that's Shitas Rashi again. Shitas Rashi is that softening is what's called the bishul, right? He does not say that making the wood harder is considered to be bishul. Don't we have other cases where, plenty of cases where you're chayiv because of bishul and you're not making something softer? You take a dough and you put it in the oven, it becomes harder. It doesn't become softer. You take, take an egg that stays the same, or maybe the egg inside certainly becomes harder. So the definition can't be that it's just that making something harder, making something which is hard, softer, ayyadei, esh, is considered to be a bishul. That's what Nissen Karelitz asks. So he explains that obviously you have to say that there are two elements in terms of the chiyuv bishul. One is physically softening the item, and then there's a second aspect, which is that you're making the item better, making it tasty, enjoyable, something which is better to eat. And the chiddush of the Gemara is that whereby food as long as you have one of the elements, either it's your change of the physical properties or the taste, you're chayav. Because a bishul by non-food, it's only the softening of the item. Now the Rambam, however, says something different. The Rambam writes in Perek Tes Halacha Vav in Shabbos. This is what's important for us. What's the rule? Bein sheripa guf kasha be'ish o shehiksha guf rach harezachayim mishum mevashel. Rambam says it goes in both directions. Whether you take something soft and make it hard al yedei eish, or you take something. But you take something soft and you make it hard, you take something hard and you make it soft, doesn't matter. You're chayiv because of mevashal. So where did the Rambam get this from? So the Lecha Mishnah says that they discovered the kol dover lachshem is bashal afal pishem is kasha chayiv mishum bishal. Anything which is soft and gets harder, again ayidei ha'ish, you're chayiv because of bishul. Dumya de ofel, similar to ofel. Masha amru besichsa. And about our case, when you're throwing the peg into the fire, he understands mao the same. What does the Gemara mean? She ain't osa shum malacha. Sharem chazokim shem ischazkim yoser. Kamashma shechayiv al bishul. Mnipnei shevetchila ish mirafa osam v'nasa lach. V'achagach mekasha osam. Mishum hachi chayiv. Says that he understands that no, it wasn't the chiddush of our Gemara wasn't that you're chayiv for making it that in between stage when you took something that was hard and made it soft in order to make it harder. He says no, the real chayiv because of bishul is the end product was that it got softer and you made it harder. But the ikar, according to the Rambam, he understands the principle which comes out of our Gemara. Is that hardening a soft item is the malacha? Now most disagree with the Rambam, but it's still important to keep it in mind. But for the most part, most of the Rishonim assume like Rashi's understanding that the ikar is the softening. Of something which is softening, which is something hard. And again, as we'll see, obviously when it comes to food, the definition is going to be slightly more complicated. Yes?
So you're saying Bain Rashi and the Rambam, they're both bishuls, it's a question of which one is the...
Correct, which stage? Which stage? But again, that might have nafkaminas in terms of understanding what the nature of bishul is. But correct. What's the... practical nafkamina in terms of this. So, I should do it here, do it later. It's part of this complicated with this whole bishul stuff. Everything is connected. The lashon that the Rambam uses was that if you make it hard, you make it like shetachetaseg gachelas. If you make it into a coal. So where do you ever have something like this when it comes to metals? The Chazon Ish says like this: what happens if you? Again, the exact situation we'll have to leave a little bit vague because we're going to have to define it later. But in a situation in which you needed to have a blech on a fire, and you forgot to put the blech on the fire before Shabbos, let's assume. And again, these things are going to have to be qualified later on. But let's assume that you have to move something from one fire to another fire, which again, we're assuming that that's okay. And the new fire that you have to put it down on has not been covered, and you need to have it to be a covered fire. Again, the details though, we're not going to ask questions on right now because it's a little more complicated. Is there any problem putting the blech on the fire on Shabbos? So says the Chazon Ish, yeah. Says why? Says when you're what are you doing when you're putting the blech on the fire? You're taking a piece of metal, right? The blech is a flat sheet of metal, and you're putting it on the fire. It's heating up. Maybe it's not mamish ad shenase gachelos, that it's like a hot coal which can maybe continue the fire, but it's getting there. He says, well, if it's getting there and you put it on, chatzi shir asur min haTorah. You're not even allowed to do part of the shir. So the Chazan Ish says, you're not allowed to put the blech on the fire on Shabbos.
Not like Rishon
Zalman
Svara, and second of all,
not like Rishon Zalman Svara about putting the blech on.
No, about, I don't know. Is he arguing?
Yeah,
about the plastic. It's the same idea. It's not pliable. And also, isn't there a halacha?
No, he's assuming that it's a problem to make it. He's concerned with the Rambam about even if it's making it. He's not worried about it being pliable. He's worried about
it's
the. Right, it's not that it's getting softer, it's that you're heating it up to the point when either it's getting harder, or you're, again, exactly what the status of a coal is in the Rambam, not 100% clear, but it's clearly that it's going to be hot enough that it could be used to for another fire.
Also, the thing with Chatzi Shir, isn't like the way the Gemara says, when you put something where it could reach Asav for a short amount of time, it says Asav because you might leave it there. Doesn't it
right, Xeris Hefshis. There are a few kashas on the, a few difficulties with the Chazon Ish, which is part of the reason that most disagree with the Chazon Ish. Whether you say that it's a Chatzi Malacha and not a Chatzi Shir, which again is a little bit of a broader topic. This issue is actually also discussed in the Deer Show. I didn't look at the entire thing. I just noticed that he does talk about it in the first Torah in Shin Yud Ches. But he says that he is concerned. He quotes Rabbi Yashiv that even if it's going to get up to Yad Soledis, it's not even us or Midrabanan. That's not a shear. The shear that we're concerned about here is something which is much hotter. And until it gets there, there's nothing to be concerned about. And that Gzeiros Hefsher of is not something that we're concerned about when it comes to the metal.
Does the Chazon Ish say Chatzi Shir Asur Minatorah? Apply Chatzi Shir Asur Minatorah for a lot of shulkas? And you go through the whole things about if it, as long as it's not going to be up to Yad Soledis, so it's still in some chatzi shir. Why not?
I'm not sure. I can't say I'm familiar enough with all the with all the Chazon Ishes on and the. I don't know. I would assume that also. So, but why did he specifically
why is this
feel it here?
But
I'm not sure. But that was again. It's a concern that he has the Mishnah Berurah, and I think disagrees with it. At least says you can certainly put a kadeira on top. And he thinks maybe a kadeira is different. We assume that a kadeira is not different. Whether you're putting a pot on top, whether you're putting a block on top, in a situation in which it's warranted, you would be able to put a blech on the fire on Shabbos.
Just a thin piece of metal.
Yeah.
Could be the chilek. We're not talking about food here.
Correct. Oh, that I'm sorry. That point the Chazon Ish does make. He says that a pot which has or something which has food in it would be, again, not that you can put that there on fire either. But again, in theory, is different than with the pot. That's I guess he's assuming that the food absorbs some of the heat as opposed to when you're just putting a flat piece of metal. I think Lamais, that's true. If you've ever put your hand on the blech, again, sometimes you try to figure out which parts you got so lettuce, and sometimes. Because you don't really think the blech is so hot, and you need to, I burned myself on Pesach, moving the blech. I figured it wasn't so hot. I was going from Yontif into Shabbos, so I was just making sure it was in the right place. We had it on Yontif, but didn't need the blech. It was more for safety concerns and to spread the heat and not have to put on too many fires. So I was moving it over before Shabbos. And it's very, very hot. It's much hotter than just a hot pot that's sitting on the fire. So I hear that part of that the Vortel Chazon Ish is saying, whether that should affect this or not, not necessarily. Good. Okay, so those are just a few points, halacha lemaisa. The Rambam does have another concern in terms of heating metal until it's red hot. The Gemara and Daf Mem Aleph and Beis says that heating metal until it's red hot and glowing in order to forge it into something else is a malacha d'oraisa. The Gemara doesn't tell us what malacha it is. Rashi says that it's makah b'patish. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos in Perek Yud Beis Halacha Aleph that it's a tolda of mavir, of fire. The problem, though, as the Ravid points out, is how come the Rambam says it's mavir? Why doesn't he say it's bishul? If you're making the, isn't that going to be the case of you're making the metal like the gachelas? So how come the Rambam, if the Rambam earlier said that if you put the metal on top and make it so hot that it's like a gachelas, that that's going to be chayiv bishum bishul. Why does he say that when you put it on and make it so hot that it's going to be chayiv because of mavir? So the Magen Mishnah explains, the Chazon Ish has a similar lumdus as well, which is that the Rambam in Perek Yud Beis Halacha Aleph is specifically talking about, right there, I'm saying the lashon of the Rambam there is Hamachamis Habarazal Kedei Letzarfo B'mayim Areza Toldas Mavir V'chayev. So in order to forge it, make it harder, so that's the Tolda of Mavir. So the Magen Mishnah says Mashakotzav L'chayev Mishum V'vashel Einon Yerli, with the commenting on the Ravid, right? The Ravid says that it should be bishul. Why isn't it bishul? She called over. She asked Manasseh or v'sorf ein roilomar vashel elamavir. Okay, so he says one idea is that if you're making it into the fire itself, you can't say that's bishul itself. It doesn't fully explain it. So the Chazon Ish says that what you see is that he's in Perek Yud Beis Halacha Aleph. He's talking specifically if it's you did it kedei letzarfo. Your intent was to harden, to forge the metal in this way. So since your intention is that the red hot piece of metal can then be hardened in the cold water afterwards, it says that you don't have interest in the softening which is taking place in the interim, and you're not chayav for it. By definition, it's getting harder in between, and it's still getting hot like the gachelas. So he says, no, the Rambam earlier means that, again, if you're heating it for the your kavana is going to define what it is. If you have kavana that it's specifically litzarfo, so then we don't look at that in-between, we don't look at the in-between stage, we only look at what your end intention was. When it's not specifically litzarfo, so then we have to assume that even along the way, it's going to be the malacha of bishul. It's obviously a hard concept to understand. Again, it's a much broader topic that's discussed in the Igle Tal and others by different malachos of when we say that your kavana defines your malacha and when not. If you're doing the same thing and it's potentially two different malachos, so when do we say that your kavana is going to define it when you don't? Again, it's part of a little bit of a bigger discussion. Okay, those are some, I guess we call more introductory remarks, which have, again, a few nafkaminas la'alacha. Let's get a little bit into some more practical issues, okay? Good? Fine. So again, we said that the definition of cooking is the eish, the fire, is heating up some sort of medium, and then you're cooking the item. Again, as opposed to baking or something like that, where the fire is acting more directly on that which you are cooking. So the Mishnah says in Shabbos Andaf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, Ein nosten beitza b'tzad ha-mechem b'shvil she-tiskagel v'lo yaftieno b'sudorin v'r'yosi matira. You can't put an egg next to a hot urn in order that it should become hard. And you can't yaftieno b'sudorin put it out on some sort of garments. What exactly is this talking about? So it says Rashi, Einos in Beitzah beside a Mecham, Kumkum Shel Nechoshes, right? The Mecham is a metal urn. Shil Shediskago, Shetitza Ktas, Achetei Megalgelas, to cook the egg a little bit. Veloyaf Gena Basudarin, Loyashbrin Vasudar Shehucham Bechama, Kadesh Shetitza Mechomo Shel Sudar. If you have a black garment, which absorbs a lot of the heat from the sun, it's been sitting out on a day like this, it's very, very hot outside, and then you want to take the egg or whatever it is, and fry it on this garment, so that is forbidden according to the Tanakhama, Rabbi Yossi Matir. And Rabbi Yossi says that it is, Rabbi Yossi says that it's okay. Gemara then says, the Gemara says as follows. So, Amar Rav Nachman, Bechama dekuli amalo pligi deshari. If you put it out directly in the sun to cook, then everybody agrees that it's mutter. You're allowed to cook in the sun. Betolda sa'or kuli amalo pligi deoser. If it's a secondary heat source, which means that the fire heated up something, and then that's through that something you are now cooking, everybody agrees that that is aser. Ki pligi, what's the machlokas in the Mishnah? Betolda sachama. It's with a secondary heat source, which was heated up by the sun. Mar sovar gazrina tolda sachama atu tolda sa'or. The Tanakhama says that we make a gzeira and we aser the secondary heat source of from the sun, so that nobody should be confused with the secondary heat source from the fire. And Rabbi Yossi says we don't make such a gezeira. Rashi says, there's several important points here. Why is it kuli amashari? Why does everybody agree that you're allowed to cook in the sun? Rashi says the ein derech bishulo bekach. It's not the derech. It's not the normal way to cook in the sun. And you won't confuse using a fire and using the sun, that it's that there's a reason to make a gzeira, that if we would allow you, that even though it's mutter, it's technically mutter to cook in the sun, that we should be afraid that you're going to come and cook in a open fire. So says the Gemara. So, several points. So the difference between cooking in. Cooking directly in the fire would mean that the heat is coming directly from the fire. That could be what we would call an afia case. That would even include a case of heating up the water. If the water is on the fire and then you put it in, that's considered to be cooking be'esh mamish, because that's where the heat is coming from. What's everybody agreeing is aser betoldas ha'or. That would be what we would call a kli rishon, even if it's shelo agabe esh. If you take the pot which has been heated up on the fire and you take it off of the fire, you can't put something uncooked in that pot, because that's cooking with something which is told us ha'or, the secondary heat from the fire, and you're not allowed to cook into that. And that again was the case where the Gemara said kuli amalo pligi. Everybody agrees. Similarly, if you had a frying pan which was being used all day Arab Shabbos, very very hot, you turn it off right before Shabbos and you come back later and throw an egg in it, and it's still hot. So it would also be toldos ha'or. There's no fire anymore, but it's a secondary source. It's now cooking in the metal, which was heated up by the fire, and that would for sure be aser. It seems to be that's even deraisa. Now the case of chama is a case where it's mutter. So if I take food outside or take the egg outside and leave it outside to cook in the sun, that is mutter on Shabbos. So if you want to, heat up water on Shabbos and you take it and leave it, so I knocked on my door on Shabbos afternoon and he wanted his babka a little bit warm. It was very hot on Shabbos, and he wanted to know if he could take his babka and leave it out in the sun in order for it to heat up. So that's chama. That's the case. It's mutter to cook in the sun. Again, that's already been cooked there, but there are many other facts as well. But that certainly is not a not a concern. The case where there's a machlokas is about toldas ha chama, which would be if, let's say, you took the frying pan and you left it outside to heat up, then you throw the egg into the frying pan. Is that going to be usur or not? What's the issue? The issue is, do we make a gzeirah now? Why would I think to make a gzeirah in that case? Because now it's confusing. I don't know necessarily how the secondary source was originally heated. Was it heated up by the sun or was it heated up by the fire? Which again is a major major difference. So again, this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Shin Yud Ches, in Siv Gimel. Kashem she'aser levasho ba'or, kach aser levasho b'toldas sa'or. Just like it's aser to cook in the fire itself, so too it's aser to cook in something which is heated up by the fire. Kigon litein beitza b'tzad kedera, to put an egg next to a pot, or the shabra al sudor shulchan ba'or, kadesha titzla, or if again somehow you heat it up with fire, a garment or something else, and you want the egg to cook on that, aser. So we paskin like the first opinion, like the Tanakhama, like the, I guess, the Chachamim of the Mishnah, that told us Sachama is Aser. Why? Gzeiratu told us Aor. So we have this Gzeirat, it's Asur. It's Asur Midrabbanon. Oh. So now we look back for a moment at Rashi. What did Rashi say the issue? Why is chama mutter? Rashi said, it's not the derech. It's not the derech. So why does that make it mutter? Usually when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, if you have a shinoi, if something is abnormal, it knocks it down to a derabbanan. It doesn't make it it doesn't make it mutter. So I think Leital and others explain that there are different forms of shinoi. And some shinoim are big enough that, in fact, they can knock it down to just doing something with your left hand is not the same as here, where it's fundamentally different. It's being cooked fundamentally by something, the sun, which is completely different. So it doesn't only knock it down from a deoraisa to a derabbanan. And therefore, it is mutter. Now, because it's based on derech, so Rabbi Chanan points out that anytime you're dealing with something which is abnormal, so now it's going to depend on time and place. If in theory it becomes normal, so then it should be asur, right? So where is this nogeya l'maisa? Microwave. This is the microwave shayla. So Rav Moshe assumed that, again, what's happening in the microwave? Some of the waves of the microwave are somehow heating up the moisture inside of the and all this is assuming, but
that makes it vibrate.
Right, and somehow that heats up the food. Now again, all is obviously assuming you somehow get around all the electronic whatever kinds of issues. But let's put those aside for now. But fundamentally, in terms of bishul, what's the halacha? So Moshe says in Chelek Gimel Arachaim Simen Nun Beis, says v'im kein b'hamikravein veven. It's just as good. It's just as good to cook in a microwave as it is in a shmamish. I don't know if most would agree with that, but okay, let's take that as a given for now. Anybody who has a microwave uses it more than the oven. The only reason that not everybody's using microwave exclusively is because not everybody has them yet. The day will come, says Rav Moshe, that I don't know what year this tshuva was from, but the day will come when people will only cook in microwaves. Vada yesh lemelav me bishul the or da mishkan mechashiva sodesh the chaldim kav the bishul idea or this or the chiyav skila vechatos as cooking in a microwave is certainly the derech And it would be Asur Minat Torah. Okay, there are a lot of premises within what Moshe is saying, but again, it certainly is the derech to use a microwave. Now, I don't know that he was necessarily assuming that it has to be more than the oven in order to be considered to be normal. Presumably not. I don't know if his prediction came true. Maybe it will still come true, but for now, it certainly is the derech. And lechora, based on that, is understandable that he would be concerned on a deraisa level.
It's not necessarily true that people usually use microwaves to cook.
Use it to heat up.
Yeah, most things you
put
in a microwave are already cooked.
Right.
The matter for, I mean, obviously that itself won't be a melacha, but it's not. It's still used for.
I don't know. So yeah, that's you figure out. Do we ever have a concept of something which is it's only the derech to do bishul achar bishul?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's not true for a microwave. You do cook some things. Like,
no, you do. That's the point.
Yeah,
like,
you need it to be like so widespread. That
there are certain things that a potato. It's very very normal to to cook in a microwave. It takes 45 minutes in an oven. And you hit the potato button, and it's done in the microwave. So again, there are things that are done. So again, it certainly is the derech to use it. Nobody would think you're abnormal for cooking something. It certainly is not to the extent of that Moshe is saying. But I don't know that's a prerequisite for what he's saying, or if he's just bolstering what he's saying. Rav Shlomo Zalman disagreed. He assumed that cooking in the microwave was derabbanan. How did he understand Rashi? He seems to have understood. He has a raya for it. He brings the Gemara on. Finish the Gemara on Daf Lamed Ches by the Chame Tiveria, where he wanted to heat up something in the Chame Tiveria, and the Gemara tries to figure out how is it. What's the heat coming from? And Shlomo Zalman says, "Who cares how the heat is coming from? Is it the derech to cook in the springs?" So he understood that when Rashi said that it's not the derech, it means that it's not the derech to use any source besides fire for cooking. So we don't look at the particular oifan ha-cooking, we don't look at the oifan ha-bishul, if the bishul is a type of bishul, but we look at what did the Torah recognize as a source of heat. Fire is the recognizable source of heat. Any other source of heat that you use, that's chama. That is chama. So why is it going to be an issur d'rabbanan? So again, that might get involved with some of the issues of being confused and being confused with cooking. Because again, Rashi said two things. Rashi said it's not the derech and it's lo michlefa. So if it's michlefa and it's not the derech, so he assumes that would be dirabbanan. It's a fascinating back and forth with the Chazon Ish about this. Again, not as interesting as the letters about electricity, but up there, he writes in the Michel Shlomo that Shlomo Zalman thought this was an amazing this was an amazing kulog. Because if you assume that this is only Dirabbanan, he said that, let's say, he says, in hospitals or places like that where the bishul has to get done, to just cook things in microwaves. Because you're going to be able to avoid, again, it's not one of these pikuach nefesh that, you know, you have to do it in the maybe Michal Shabbos in the biggest way possible to show. They're doing it on a weekly basis. They cook the same way. It's not taking a difference of time or anything else. So cook it in a microwave. And he told this to the Chazon Ish, and he said also he thinks it's true of what's called Suvi, S-O-U-S space V-I-D-E. It's a method of cooking. It used to only be used in fancy restaurants, and now
somebody use less than boiling water for a long period of time.
Not necessarily less than boiling, but low temperatures. Again, luckily, basically. But the point is that the source of it is not fire. The source of it is electricity. That's where it's more nogea. Basically, you have this. You put your meat or whatever it is in a plastic bag, and you bathe it in this water, and you set the machine for 10 hours, 20 hours, 30 hours, and it, depending on what the result you need, and it keeps the water at the exact low temperature that you need. So you go to, it takes you out to a fancy restaurant, and you get your parents to take you out to your fancy restaurant, and you'll see sometimes sous vide that. Question, so is that, if it's coming from electricity, so according to Rav Moshe, so it's, if it's a derech of bishul, it's not going to matter anymore, right? This is a normal way of cooking. But if you say that it's coming from electricity, and the reason that ore is different than chama is because it's a recognized, certified, halachic source, has to be fire, then this isn't fire, it's electricity. So the same thing would be true for those electric, those fork things. The immersion things, you put them in, and the water helps finish the circuit, and it heats up the water. So those things would all be derabbanan. So he thought. Shlomo Zalman thought this would be the solution to all of these problems in the hospitals. He told it to the Chazan Ish, and the Chazan Ish said no. He said, just like you're chayiv on a tolda, so too you're going to be chayiv on all of these things. So he said, Maori spalati lishmoa davar zeh. He says, "V'yaldus ha'isabi." I was still young. Lomar, so I said to him, "Rakari shonim ha'yu l'chom lomar chiddush gadol kaseh." You're creating new category. Like, where are you coming up with this? Achu chazer ve'shiva shaladaita hu pashut ve'in tzvichin klal lios rash ve'lomar davar zeh. He says, "Ulam gam ayom zeh temuah no beinai." They still don't understand the chazanish, but they were just like talking on different levels. They weren't speaking to each other; they were talking past each other. To Reb Shlomo Zalman, it was pashut that these things are all. Are all derabanan, and the Chazon Ish assumed that no, it's fire, electricity. It's all connected. It's a source that's no different than fire. So we answer it the same way. So I think it's because the Rashi says two things. Rashi says it's the lashon of Rashi was that it's not the derech. Where'd it go? I think his question was that it's not the derech, and also that it's lo mechlefa. The ain derech b'shul b'kach v'chama b'or lo mechlefa de ligzer ha'atuha. So that is maybe only applies to the sun. That it's lo mechlefa. This is certainly mechlefa.
I mean, it's only mechlefa at kama. You don't realize that it's. I mean, everyone knows that it's a microwave is different than an oven.
Why? It looks like a little oven.
I'm saying people think
it looks like a little oven. You put food in.
There's a fire in the microwave.
What?
People think there's a fire in the microwave.
If you put the metal things in, there's a fire. In the microwave. Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if people think about it. If you ask the average person how microwave works, I don't think they'll know.
Who cares? Like, you get hot food.
Right. It might just be that. It might be opening up the door of a box in your kitchen.
Also.
What?
That's true of the sun also.
No, because you're taking it out for it. It's out in the sun.
Yeah, everyone knows that it's in the sun, but you get how.
I hear you. I think that's where he's coming from. I think he's saying that not the derech will help for this, but you need both things. Chama's unique.
Told us already. Like, that's clear. That like there's just no there's no recognizable difference between.
I hear you.
I hear you.
Yeah, the question is, why did Rashi say both? Why did Rashi say two things? So you're going to assume that. So you need both in order to say that it's mutter.
Yeah.
So you think you have both here? No, we should stop for mecha. So let's pick up with this point Lina, there tomorrow. I'll try to look at the Tshuva of Shlomo Zalman inside a little bit more. We'll quickly look at solar-powered appliances, because there's no gear for this, and then try to move ahead with defining Bishul a little bit more when it comes to Kli Rishon and the like.